Very glad that we are here. So we have looked this weekend, last night, we went over why it's important to understand that Jesus asked questions. And this morning we looked at Jesus asking the question, what do you want? And seeing regardless if it's in for him to teach us, to heal us, or to forgive us, he delights to give us the kingdom. Now what we're going to examine is we're going to look at why we ask why. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. We ask the question why, because when sin entered the earth, it caused a dissonance that separated us from God. And we're called to be a people that are always about his praise and drawing into his presence and singing and giving him our alleluias, praise the Lord. What we're going to find as we've processed this week and is that effective questioning links closely to effective listening. And what we discover is that we ask the question why because we have a dissonance in our soul. And the dissonance that occurs, it's a struggle that happens. And I was praying through this, and this is something that I hadn't originally intended to be a part of what we were doing this weekend. But then when Grace closed, and I had so many people coming and asking me why. You think of all the whys that our days are filled with. I told you, I often don't know how to answer because I'm a five-year-old. You know, it just seems like the questions that we have are so much harder. And as the dissonance occurs and we struggle because the question of, well, if God is a good God, then why did this happen? If God is good, why is there cancer? If God is good, why did she have to die? If God is good, why would a good, solid Christian ministry have to stop? If God is good, why did the relationship break? If God is good, and it's all these whys that people are asking. And I'm praying and I'm thinking through this struggle, and how do I help people with the struggle of the why that we have in us? And that dissonance that makes us feel that we're separated from God when he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Dissonance in our beliefs affects our behaviors. It affects it. The minute our belief system is affected with that dissonance that is happening, it causes the actions to not act out what it should. And so as I was processing, I had one guy just look at me, and I'm looking at this young man that I absolutely love in the Lord, and I'm seeing what God's doing. And he goes, why? Like, I don't even know how to pray. How do I even pray? Why? And I just looked at him and I had to tell him, you know what? There's two kinds of will when it comes to the will of God. There's the sovereign will of God and there's the command will of God. The sovereign will of God, we cannot break. We cannot undo what is the sovereign will of God. That which is the sovereign will of God will be because he is I am. But the command will of God are all the things in our life that he has in Scripture where he says, love one another, serve one another, sing songs and hymns to one another, help one another. All of the one another's, which I think there's like 48 or 49 of them. They're repeated over and over, so you'll see them in more places. But every command that we have that tells us how to live out our life, that's the command will of God. So as we deal with the dissonance and the struggle, we have to ask ourselves, okay, what is the sovereign will? Because I can't undo the sovereign will of God. It is the sovereign will of God because sin entered this earth that we shall all die. He tells us we should number our days. We should rightly divide and think through our time on this earth. And think about it, because there's limited. We shall be born and we shall die. Sovereign will. What I do in that space and time and how I live my life, how I handle that struggle and that dissonance, that's in the command will. Do I honor God? Do I serve others? Am I building the kingdom? Am I generous? Am I merciful? I can affect the change of what happens, those circumstances may not, by how I walk within the command will of God. So as that dissonance happens, it not only affects our beliefs and our behaviors, but as it occurs, it causes us to ask things that, oh, like, help me here. Like, I don't understand. And it causes us to resonate and have to get clarity. Like, I have to ask questions. I have to seek God. I have to find him. Because if I don't get clarity, I'm going to go nuts. And so it's a good thing. And I think we don't like that. Because when somebody is playing the piano and you hear the dissonance, you're like, stop. Or if they scratch the chalkboard, you're like, I don't like that sound because we don't like dissonance. But we have to remember that sometimes he allows that dissonance to happen because that is what he is going to use to draw us closer to him. He is allowing the dissonance to occur so we will ask the right questions so that we can get closer to him. We will seek that resolution. I don't know about you guys, but I'm always in the process of seeking. I'm seeking things for myself. I am constantly seeking truth for my people. And I never stop the process of seeking the resolution. Because what happens, and this is cool, I'm going to just put these all up here and so that you guys can see them, because I want you. I was like praying through this, and I'm like, okay, when I have dissonance in me, it's between good and bad. Like, I hate evil. I absolutely hate evil. Sorry. Thanks, Mom. I hate evil. And so that struggle between good and bad, I don't like listening to the news because I don't, it dissonance in me. It's like, this is not of God, and I don't like hearing it. And so when we have the struggle between good and bad, it messes with us. Because good is victorious, and we have to remind ourselves, I have victory in Christ. The victory has already been won. Evil does not win, and bad does not win. Jesus died on the cross, and we have victory in Christ. He will return, and it's a victory that's done. And so the struggle with good and bad, and then I started thinking, well, the struggle of moral and immoral. Ugh! Right? And so that causes dissonance in me. And that makes me to ask questions. And then I thought through it and I was like, okay, what about gains and losses? Oh, we could go really superficial, and I could talk about what my friend was telling me about his maturity with the football and the Husker team. And it was like many years ago, it took me a week or so to get over it. He goes, I now measure my spiritual maturity based on how long it takes me to get over with a Husker's loss. You know, I mean, it just... gains and losses, whatever it is that's going to cause us to have that struggle, right? But we have a dissonance because of gains and losses. It's tough. The other one that we're going to struggle with is the imagination, the fantasy, and what is reality in fact. Where our minds can go, and what our minds think what should be, and it's not, and what reality is. And so a dissonance occurs, and we have to be asking questions, and we have to ask God to ask us questions so that we can walk in what is truth. Or what about the fact versus fiction? So forget the fantasy part, but just flat out just lies and dealing with the stinking thinking that might be going on inside us. And so all this dissonance in us is why we ask why. And it blows my mind how we can have that. But I want you to get, dissonance is not a bad thing. So, Bill Hybels, I just like lost his name for a second. He wrote a book called Holy Discontent. And we don't like that. I was recently talking with a leader on campus, and he was telling me, he's like, I just have this discontentment, and I feel like I'm in sin because I have a discontentment. And he goes, and I told him, I said, hold on, wait a minute. Your discontentment isn't bad, because I believe it's a holy discontent. You are discontent because God is putting dissonance inside you because something is about to move in your life. And he is seeking you to recognize it's time for change. It's time for you to move forward to another part of what God is asking. And so when the discontent and the dissonance is within, you can go through, and you, I'm not out of the command will of God. I can see the sovereign will of God at moving. Then you have to say, okay, God, what are you giving me the invitation to? Let's get back to Friday night. The invitation to, what are you calling me to in that movement? And as we ponder that, that's the place where we'll find that God can do his greatest work. We have another video. Oh, maybe don't. Wasn't. Okay, I thought it was on the blank screen because of that. Sorry. I was like, good. What are the questions that Jesus asked? So, here's the deal. Because of that dissonance, I got ahead of myself. Jesus answered four questions. Remember I told you that the theologians say three, but when I was doing my study and I found this one, and when the disciples asked him, how do we pray, I want you to listen to this. I want it, because it isn't a question, but it's a statement. that provides a question. And so I think it's one of those where when they were doing the transcribing, it was hard for them to say. So one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, I want you to say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" So they came to him and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." The question was, show us. How do you pray? And then he taught them. All right? The next thing that was a question that they were asked was, what is the greatest commandment? Now listen to this one. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So when they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray," he was teaching them about prayer. Now, you listen when I'm going to show you again how every single thing has a message in it. And this one, it's about love. Prayer is important, and love is important. For the third one, the question that was asked is, what must we do to do the works of God? Haven't you been there? What am I supposed to do? Well, what does it mean? How am I supposed to? What does that service look like? And so he replied to them in John 6, 28 through 29. "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" And Jesus said, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he sent." He didn't give an action. He gave a heart condition. Think on that one for a minute. So it was first prayer, then love, and now belief. The fourth question he answered was, why? Why do you speak in parables? And this one is absolutely beautiful because it has so much in it. And it actually ties into my verse, and I didn't make that connection until Evelyn read my verse earlier today, which is how God works. He's always in the process of doing a revelation. So the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will ever be seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have their eyes closed. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because you hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And I was studying this, and because I teach on the parables, he says, it's because I have secret things. I have mysterious things. And I want you to be the only one to hear, because I want you to have the kingdom. But for those who do not want to hear, they're not going to get it. In fact, if you go in and look at what it means, it's as if their ears are waxed grossly, is what it says in the original. They're so stopped up that it's like they're clogged. They just can't hear at all. But he says you can, because your heart is open to hear. So I talk with these parables because I want you, who I want to have the kingdom, to understand. So how should we respond? Well, obviously, if these are the questions that Jesus answered, we need to get these four things down right, right? Because he did not answer questions. In fact, you'll find he responded with questions, he responded with parables, he responded with stories about nature, and sometimes he was just flat out angry. He just didn't do it. He was just kind of not happening. And so if we have these, how we should respond. First is we should be praying to the Father through the Son. Father, how do we, Jesus, how do we pray? Teach us how, John the disciples. And so here it is. You pray to the Father through the Son and follow that model. Other ways you can pray, but definitely have that model be a part of what you're going to do. We're called to love God. To love God. But to love others as we love ourselves. And here's the deal. If I am beating me up all day long, do you think I'm going to be loving to somebody else? No. The only way I'm going to be able to give love and the full measure of God kingdom love is if I love me the way he loves me. And by loving him, I know love. And because I know his love, I know my value. I know I am loved. And then I am able to look at everybody and say, oh my goodness, and he loves you with an everlasting love. You are forgiven. You are not condemned. You are not judged. You are a righteous, chosen child of the King. Help me help you. And then all of a sudden, instead of looking at people as the enemy, we will view them as POWs. They're prisoners of war. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And if we have the love of the Father at work in us, and we recognize his love, and we know his character, and we don't allow the lies of Satan to destroy what we know about his character and his word, his love will flow through us, and we will be loving to those around us. It's crazy. And over again, I will have young people come to my office and talk to me. I struggle with my identity. But I have found I have 60-year-old friends that struggle with their identity. And every single time, I take them back to, what do you know about God? And what does his word say? And the more we understand the character of God and the word of God, the more we realize our identity ends up being taken care of. So I have started challenging my women, and it blesses me because I have quite a few now that's how they read scripture. I have several, and it's so sweet because I have some that have gone on, and I've had two just this year come back to tell me, I'm still reading my Bible through, and I'm circling every time I see a character trait of God. Because they recognize when they know his character, then they are able to give the love of Christ that they're called to give. And I have two in particular right now that are just sweetly blessing my soul, and that one of them is even keeping a long list of what she is learning about the character of God. And I watch this little one at 21 years of age, and I think, oh, I wished I had what you have. If I could have been like you at 21, oh my, I would have had so much more I would not have battled with. And they're getting it. So we need to pray. We need love. But then, what are the works we're called to do? They're thinking, what can I do? Let me be Martha. Let me clean your house. Let me scrub your floors. Let me wash your shoes. I don't know. How can I serve you, Jesus? And he says, the works of God, believe in the one he sent. That's the greatest work. That in whatever our circumstance, whatever interaction we are in, that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That we bring the gospel in. And I recently wrote a post on Facebook. I was praying through this. It's like, God, just let me gospel through. And I prayed that before the grace situation was announced. I was just asking God, I just want to be a person that gospels through, that in everything that so much the part of my belief system of Jesus and what he has done on the cross for me, that I bring the gospel into everything and I gospel through it. So how are we going to gospel through it? What does that look like to believe in the one that he sent? So where in our lives have we not put that belief? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the works of God. Because he's given us a privilege. Oh, he allows me to be a guardian of his mystery. And that just undoes me. That he trusts me to be a person who can teach his word, who can speak his word, who can share it and encourage others to draw into his presence and help people to get it. I just loved this picture. This is us, girls. Look at that. The bride of the king with our sword, because the sword is the word, right? Come on. There we go. So how do we guard those mysteries? Because I'm a flippant gibbet. I walk into walls. I say wrong things. I send text messages that are messed up with major typos. I'm just the person that's going to have those kind of mess ups. So how, you're trusting me? What's up with that? And he says, I use that which confounds the world, Tara. It's okay. It's like, thank you. I'm so glad that I confound people. And so how do I do that? Well, the first is I need to know that he is mysterious. And in Christ are all the treasures of heaven. All treasures of heaven are hidden. And he delights to give me his kingdom. And when it becomes a prayer that is with love and belief, guess what? God does not say no. That's not a no. Because if my prayer is that I know him, I know his character, I walk in his love, and I increase in belief, that is asking for his kingdom-mindedness in the moment, in that circumstance. God says yes every single time. So when my little guy asked me, how do I pray? I said, we don't pray for the outcome. We pray that we are righteous, redeemed, holy, loving, kind. We go to John 17 where Jesus prays for the future disciples and he says, I pray that they increase in belief, in oneness, in unity, in giving you glory, in knowing your character and knowing your love. That's what he prayed over us. Those are six amazing truths. That's how we pray. We pray for that kingdom character growth. And then it doesn't matter what the outcome is because we're walking in kingdom mindedness and that's how he reveals his mysteries. To see secrets that others cannot see. Oh, sometimes it's just crazy how he will just say, okay, watch, and let me show you. And he reveals to you the things of his heart. And he allows you the privilege of being washed in his presence and knowing he is there. Because scripture says he is our present help in our time of need. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. And he'll give those to us. Not only that, but we have to listen to receive the kingdom abundance. But here's the deal. This is not finances. This isn't a nice home. It's not even a promise of a perfect job or a perfect setting or a perfect spouse or perfect children. That's not it. What it is that in the muck of life, all of a sudden, I'm able to have peace which surpasses all understanding, and I can see chaos happening and be able to walk it without being crazy amidst it. Is that funny? So when we flooded, three couples knew Christ on our street. Those are the three couples that are still married to this day. All the other families before a year was out, divorce happened, because they didn't have anything to hold on to. And even though everything was gone, that night we were at Mom and Potty's house, me, Mom, and Papa's, and we're upstairs and we're sleeping, and I'm just this huge pregnant woman, and we have our two dogs with us and Michaela sleeping in their guest room, and it's all gone. And I'm laying there and I'm praying and I'm like, I need to encourage my husband. And I'm like, Greg, I need you to know I'm okay. We have each other. We've got our kids. Everybody's good. It's stuff. I'm at peace. I'm at peace. When the announcement at Grace was made and I see the people I love broken, I'm sitting there and this presence of peace just falls upon me because I've been praying for the character of God and the kingdom of God and not outcomes. Because when we pray for those things, that's where our strength comes from. And that's what he wants to give us. Because we turn to Jesus and we gospel through. It's beautiful. It's sweet. And it's real. This is not cliche. What I am saying to you, I am walking and I am living and I am breathing. And let every breath praise the Lord. Amen and alleluia. So why did Jesus ask Peter that day, three times, do you love me? How important is love? And did you know, this is the last questions asked by Jesus to a person, to a disciple. Why did he do that? Well, he wanted us to get a couple of things, because we need this because, you know, I got a mind that does stinking thinking. So the first off is he's got to get our mind on the future ministry. It's not about what has been, but he's wanting us to see ahead. What are we going to do? What are we moving towards? How are we moving forward? He's like, Peter, you denied me three times. Listen to me. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? And he's like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Three times to cover the fact that he denied him three times. He wants to get his mind on a future and not behind. Don't be thinking you messed up. Anybody in here do that? I could put my toes up and everything and the hairs at all. It's like, God forgive us. He wants us to recognize that yesterday's denials do not define our ministry today or tomorrow. Right? I saw this photo of a pastor the other day, and up here on the platform, he had it totally filled with suitcases. Don't have a clue what his message was, but when mom was sharing her testimony, she's like, oh, lots of baggage. You know that's what his sermon was. You guys leave your luggage up here at the altar. It doesn't, you know, you got to deal with your stuff because it doesn't affect tomorrow. You may have messed up. Repent and believe what it says in Acts 3:19. He says, if you repent and turn to Christ, I will give you Christ and times of refreshing. That's what he does when he repents. And he says, to give unconditional love. Peter, you need to get it. You need to get it that I have unconditional love for you, but you also need to have unconditional love. So it's a to him and to him pushing out. And then the last is to recognize he was given a trust. Did you know Scripture actually says that a shepherd receives a crown for the care that they have as they take care of their flock? If you've never studied the crowns, you should study the crowns. As a shepherd, someone who oversees a group of people, you receive a crown. But that crown's not for you. Here's the cool part. On the day that judgment happens, and you have the division occur, and the ones who have not believed are on their knees repenting, like, well, it's too late. And those that haven't, we're forgiven. But guess what we get to do? We get to go and lay at his feet the crowns that we have from serving him on this earth. And a person who oversees his flock well will have a crown they get to lay at the feet of Jesus. So on the day that others will be judged, we get to give him a gift. Peter, recognize you have been given a trust. I'm trusting you, and I will give you the kingdom, but I want you to give my kingdom. Give my kingdom. Whoops. You need to persevere, because Peter, it's going to get hard. You think it was hard on the night I died and you denied me? It's going to get harder, but you got to persevere. And that's why he did it three times. Repetition for a teacher means listen, listen. And you need to get it down. And he's wanting them to understand, I want you to persevere, Peter. So there was one last question that Jesus asked. And we're going to watch a video. Jesus knew dissonance. So we think that our struggle is our own. He knew what it meant to be separated from the Father. And on the day that he asked why, it was because he was willing to allow himself to be separated from the Father as he took on our sin and conquered death in our behalf. He who knew no sin took sin upon himself in our behalf. Why did Jesus ask God why? He knew. He knew what it was like to be separated. We know what it's like to be separated, right? He became the sin offering. Recognizing that our sin is what put him on the cross. He did that so I could be righteous. He did that so you could be righteous. The pure in heart are the ones that shall see God. Blessed are the pure in hearts. So when our heart has come before God and we have allowed what Jesus has done on the cross for our sins to be forgiven, it's in those moments. I don't know where the echo is coming from. It's in those moments. It's in those moments that the sin is dealt with. And so we need to make sure that we're allowing him to do what needs to be done in us. Allow him to ask us those questions. Allow him to do the work in us. Allow him, when the dissonance is there, to bring forth truth and to teach us, to heal us, to forgive us. It's beautiful to get us to get up and to move as he invites us. In the verse I quoted to you a minute ago, Jesus asked the questions because he wanted us to discover the meaning. He asked the questions to help us figure out our hearts, some back up, what is inside, right? Some things are there. He allows us to get where he's working out to get holy desires. He allows that dissonance and discontent so holiness can be made known. And that's the process called sanctification. He does it so that we can engage in faith. One of the questions the disciples, they ask, Lord, teach us to pray, but they also ask, Lord, how do we increase our faith? It's a good question to ask Jesus. Helps us to reconcile what's going on inside us because we know we're separated and we need to get our hearts right. And it helps us to move forward in trust, even when it doesn't make sense and it's a crazy thing It's crazy when you go to a funeral and you're at the funeral of a friend who has their spouse that's passed away, and you're wanting to minister to them, and all of a sudden they're ministering to you because of what Christ is doing in them. It's a crazy thing that he does. So we're going to close and play in the video one last time. I want you just to listen and to read. And one last time, allow God to wash you with these questions that he put before the disciples and the men at that time. And allow him to ask you. And then I'll close this in prayer. Father, I thank you. What a great weekend. Thank you so much for allowing us to look at the questions that Jesus asked and even examine our own hearts and why we ask questions. I thank you for the truth that you trust us. You don't accuse, you don't condemn. You teach, you heal, you forgive. You want us to pray, to love, to believe, and to guard the mysteries you've given us. You want to ask us what we want. We have not because we ask not. Help us to remember to be kingdom focused when we do that. To ask for your character, your word, your truth. Right now, I just ask a guard of protection upon each woman and each man that has served at this conference and that are present. We've been in a holy place at a holy time, God. And as we go forth, the enemy is going to do what he can to distract, distort, create doubt, and ask questions that will bring lies. And I ask in the name of Jesus, you slay him. And that as everybody goes back into the routine, that you have your guard of protection upon them. And that they are united with your love. And that the greater mysteries are revealed in Jesus over and over and over to them. And that they are able to move forward and go forth in love. The generous love that you give. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.